Great marketing leaders need to start somewhere, and the ones that are already great can always be greater. Time to find out how to do both with an episode of CMO Convo. What if we told you there was a way to potentially double your conversion rates? Now that we've got your attention, well, we're going to talk about doubling your conversion rates, as Ihor Sokal, co-founder of the Conversion Rate Store, is here to share his top advice and hacks for conversion rate optimization.
This episode is sponsored by Dream Data. Speaking of conversion rate optimization, we can all agree it's very challenging, especially when you're in B2B, where buying cycles are longer and involve multiple stakeholders. You're not going to get very far in B2B by relying on tracking that was built for B2C. Enter Dream Data. By connecting all the dots on the B2B customer journey, Dream Data paints a complete picture of what is happening with your customers. You'll know when and how your visitors are converting, and ultimately find what's working and what isn't, and driving them down the funnel.
Hi, Ihor. Welcome to the CMO Convo. How are you doing today?
I'm great. Thank you. Thank you for this opportunity.
No, thank you for joining us, because the topic we're talking about today, conversion rate optimization, is going to be incredibly important moving forward with the recessions that many places are moving into, the cost of living crisis, increasing that hesitation that people have for buying and purchasing. So any tools that we can equip CMOs with, it's going to be incredibly valuable. So very much looking forward to this conversation. Before we do get into that, Ihor, maybe you could introduce yourself to the audience and tell us a bit about why this topic is so important.
Sure. Well, my name is Ihor. I'm from Kiev, Ukraine. We have a big team in our agency working in Ukraine, over 30 people agency with quite a big one. And my story is very simple. I've been working in corporate business, doing communications, doing landing pages, doing some marketing. And at some point, I realized that I reached the point of growth, and I quit the job. So I was looking for an MBA opportunity, which I did in the end. And I started quite a few startups. I worked in the crypto industry. I had even corner shops. I had retail stores in Kiev that I opened. But in the end, it all came down to, you know, working on something highly intellectual. So I looked into a symbiosis of marketing and development. I started working, creating landing pages. And from there, it was evident that I had to evolve somehow. For most clients, a landing page is a commodity. So why buy from me? There's the other 300,000 suppliers of this service. So I will start looking into ways of optimizing this experience, and in some setting, the landing page as a mean of converting. I was trying to sell the results. So I was saying that this landing page should be at this level of traffic, should generate this number of conversions based on the conversion rate that we expect there to be. And as a result, this all involved in analytics, user experience, research, huge research, the quantitative analytics, everything else involved in analyzing user behavior to produce higher quality and higher effectiveness of the landing pages. And this is how I ended up in conversion rate optimization, because the symbiosis of everything, psychology, links, user research, quantitative analytics, A/B testing, statistics, and now it's going well. It's going where I feel that right now this is the intellectual challenge that I was waiting for. So I'm in the right place, I feel.
Fantastic. So very much looking forward to digging into all those different components that go into it in this conversation. But before we do start digging into how CMOs and how marketers can really optimize conversion rates, let's define what we mean by conversion rate optimization. Like, let's get that foundation down. So how are we defining the term, and how has it reached the point it's at today?
If you ask anyone in the field who's there for over, say, 5 years, for example, everyone will be giving you very different terms, but they all, in essence, they are the same in terms of what they are communicating. So my view of this, very simple terms, that CRO is a methodology of increasing user propensity and effectiveness of exerting a specific action. It could be a sale, a purchase, a conversion, a sign up, a registration, or whatever else it is. So our job is to identify what are the motives and what is the user intent user has, and providing with all the means in terms of the content, UX, UI, for user to convert, for user to exert a specific action that we want him to. This includes increasing the motivation and reducing the barriers to conversion, the concerns, the ambiguities, the frictions, everything that prevents user from converting.
So we're not just talking about point of sale here. It's literally everything that a user could engage with on a website. It's pretty much everything to do with digital marketing when it comes to conversion rate optimization.
Well, everything that's to do while users on site.
Mm-hmm.
You see, when I started the business, we were talking about changing the position or call to action, the name of a button, changing the position of various elements, making the header or the menu yellow or green or gray. So very basic things. And it is a myth that these things work. Of course, they do. They may have some effect of visibility of elements, and maybe even some cases, even user propensity to engage with the element. But the more sophisticated you get there, the more chances you get to get user attention and to motivate user to progress down the conversion flow. So it's not about, right now, it's not about the position or the color or this small change in messaging. It's about big things. It's about things like what we call a dedicated conversion flow. I can tell you more about this, but basically what this means is that breaking down user problem into intents. For example, like an example I usually give is, you can buy an apple because you're hungry, because your dentist told you to, because you're on a diet, because it's going to look great in your interior of your, as a design element in your kitchen, and many other. So one product could have very many different user intents. And our job is to identify this user intent, segment user by the user intent, and personalize content based on that user intent. As a result, user will be more engaged and progress into the funnel and hopefully convert. This is what we call a dedicated conversion flow based on user intent. So it is quite a sophisticated methodology now. It's not about changing things around or changing colors. It's about making sure that you provide seamless and the most effective user flow for users to convert based on their motivations, based on their intents and motives.
Nope, it's a very holistic look at the entire user journey, I suppose. I really like this, looking at the different intent, the different methodologies. I can see where the psychology fits into it quite clearly there. So when it comes to conversion rates, I'm sure lots of people can Google or Bing or ask ChatGPT these days, like, what are the average conversion rates that people are looking at? Is that something that CMOs should be looking at in order to benchmark their own progress when it comes to conversion rates, or is there a better way to be approaching this?
I will tell you, we are hiring we tried to hire some of the top product managers in our country, in Ukraine, and we have many different products, global products in Ukraine. So we are trying to make sure that our knowledge base, our experience, and our processes are above those of the top product companies in Ukraine and in Europe, not only Ukraine, because most of our market is the USA, UK, and Europe in general. And when I speak to them, not only them, but when I speak to anyone in the field, and what I found extremely surprising for me is that when I ask them about the methodology of generating hypothesis for A/B testing, They say, well, we sit down with all the people involved, designers, copywriters, and then we brainstorm ideas and what do we need to test next. And I say, well, where is the data-driven component to this? How do you, pre-validate this? Or we don't. They say, we just throw everything that we can think of, create like 10, 15 hypotheses, and then A/B test. And of course, 9 out of 10 of them fail. You know that a hypothesis could have very many iterations. So the hypothesis could have one interpretation in terms of design, in terms of copywriting, in terms of the user experience and user interface. We can, from one hypothesis, we can make 5 or 7 different alternative variations. But what we are seeing is that generally, the A/B test win rate is around 10, 12, well, up to 15% in big product companies, which is surprising for us because it is a lot of investment to do one A/B test. Significant A/B test is a lot of dev investment, a lot of QA investment, design, copywriting, with management investment. But then if you fail 9 out of 10 experiments, this is the not an optimal level of return on investment. But when I look at their methodologies, it becomes clear to me that they're just underinvesting in the hypothesis. If they would be investing in hypothesis, if their hypothesis would be more data-driven and they would encompass a more sophisticated methodology of user experience research, quantitative analytics, UX prototyping, UI design, copywriting, they will be winning a lot more. So our benchmark is 30% A/B test win rate. And this is what we're aiming for. For example, about 2 weeks ago, we were summing up the results for the first 3 months of one of our new clients. We launched 10 A/B tests. We won 8 of them. And of course, this is 80% success rate, and the client was incredibly happy. And for us, it's an outlier, so it's a huge success. For a client, this is like 25-28% uplift in total site-wide revenue from 3 months of work with us. He said this is one of the best investments he's ever made. But the reason why we did this and the reason why we shipped this is because we spend most of our resources we spend on researching user problems, user frictions, concerns, ambiguities, and barriers to conversion, and identifying various methodologies how we can provide more value to user before we ask them to convert, or how we can reduce all the aspects that would prevent user to convert, how we would introduce effective user experience and copywriting to encourage user to exert a specific action, which is a conversion.
So it sounds to me like the current way of thinking, this 10 to 15% success rate, is actually doing CMOs and marketing leaders a disservice in terms of their standing within their organizations. Like if they could in quite a short amount of time double their win percentage rates, that's going to increase their standing with the company. It's going to increase their ability to execute new ideas, get more budget as well, which is very important at this time with all the recessions and cost of living crises going on. So yeah, it just makes a lot of sense. So why aren't people taking this approach? Like why are people still sticking to this tried and tested method that actually isn't working that well?
The answer is very simple, because it's difficult. It took me about 4 years to work out a methodology. So when we engage with clients in the initial stage, the reason why we win most of our, significant proportion of our engagement and negotiation, while there are other suppliers of conversion rate managed services, is because we commit to a specific result. We said, I'll give you, some clients find it very interesting to hear. I'll give you math behind this. So we know that we have about 30% A/B test win rate. which means that on average, we need to launch about 3 A-B tests to have one win. We also know that our A-B test win rate, an average A-B test win rate, is between 8 and 10%. So what we can do for putting it all together, if we launch 3 A-B tests, we will have one A winner on average and will provide 8 to 10%. Meaning that I can come to a client and say, look, I will launch 3 A-B tests and you will have at least one winner on average. Okay, the more we do, the more we get. But what I'm saying is I'm able to take commitment to give a client 10% uplift in a space of, say, 3 months. Well, a minimum of 10%. We're saying this is a minimum. And of course, in some cases, we do 20, 30%. But I can mathematically prove that I can do a 10% uplift for a client in a space of, say, 3 months. First month, we do research. We do research questions, data tracking, analytics, hypothesis. And then 2 months, we do A-B testing. 2, 3, 4 A-B tests, as many as we can. And by the end of 3 months or 4 months, we say minimum 10%. So the reason why we have this is because we have very strong methodology. We know what we're doing very well. And we know that if we follow this methodology, we will end up with one win out of 3 A-B tests and about 10% uplift from this A-B test. Now, the reason why not everyone else is doing it is because it's difficult. Is because you have to know how to do this. You have to know how to formulate the research questions that would enable you. So basically, you're asking yourself, what do I need to know in order to create the hypothesis? So you say, first, I need to know what is the performance of the funnel. Second, I need to know why the underperforming stages of my funnel, why are they underperforming? What is the reason? Third, I need to know what are the, say, for example, what are the search queries? So how do users find us? What search they use it organically or PPC and how they find us? So because this will tell us what is their user intent, what were they typing in the keyboard. Fourth, for example, you can say, what is a product discovery flow on the site? Do they go through search, in site search? Do they go through the mega menu, or the listings? And all of this allows us to identify what we need to know. Then it's data tracking, then it's analytics, which is a huge topic because we do a multitude of different methodologies for quantitative analytics and UX research, qualitative analytics. That is creation of hypothesis. That is design, user experience, user interface, and then it's copywriting, and then it's A-B testing. And you have to be pro in every single one of these stages, because if you do everything great up to the point, say, for example, of copywriting or design or A-B testing, everything will collapse there. So it's difficult. You have to invest. I've invested half a decade of my life in researching this and studying this. And I've wrote, like, I don't know, maybe 3 or 4 different methodologies, I cannot call them essays because they're like academic piece of work. Where I explain how do you identify information that you need to know. How do you ask questions to analytics? What kind of data tracking is required, and so on and so on. So it is a difficult thing. You have to invest. If you invest, you will never see result tomorrow. You will see result in a few years, but you will gradually will start seeing that your A-B test win rate is going to start to increase. And maybe 2-3 years down the line, you will see the 20-25%, maybe 30%. But if you keep on doing this, growing your team expertise and the processes and documenting all those processes, so the new person will come, will open up and say, oh God, you have so much stuff already written down. I'll need about 2 weeks to go through this. And by then I'll be ready to start working. So the people that we hire, we give them 2 to 3 weeks of onboarding for them to look around and to onboard, to study how we do it. We don't get people on the projects right away. So I personally educate and mentor and coach people, the project managers and conversion rate, CRO managers and growth managers, and they already then they coach the people that their team. But
it's a lot of coaching, a lot of work. It's not easy. It's a big piece of work. But if you do it right and if you commit to it, you'll be there.
Oh, well, bad. So it sounds like it reaches across all parts of a market. Well, not just the marketing department, across the entire business, in terms of how to take this approach. It sounds like you have it very baked into your culture, of course, in the company, because it is the conversion rate store. So, of course, this approach would be baked in there. Is that something that's possible in every organization to take this kind of approach there? Like, is it possible to have the sort of data-driven CRO culture in any kind of organization, or is it specific to certain types, do you think?
Well, you know that business can grow up to the level where business can profitably acquire traffic and acquire not even traffic, acquire the acquisition, conduct acquisitions. We know that the traffic is at the acceptable rate is finite. So a lot of businesses are reaching this, and then they're trying to diversify. They're trying to find other markets, other avatars, user profiles, and then target them. And a lot of them are effective. We see clients, one of our clients in Australia is growing, I don't know, maybe four times over a year because they were finding new groups and then onboarding that segment of users with the ads, PPC, and it worked really, really well for them. But you have to start reducing your acquisition cost. You can reduce it by targeting, by your PPC campaigns setup, or you can go to your website and make sure the conversion rate is up. The higher your conversion rate and other key metrics, the lower your acquisition cost. Because of course, if Google will send 100 users to your site and one of them will convert, well, Google will know that your site is not very effective. If they will see, and out of those 100, 95 bounced without any interaction, Google tracks that. He will definitely tell. So the cost per click or cost per acquisition would go up. If 100 users, out of 100 users, you have 5 conversions, out of the 40 bounce, out of those who didn't bounce, say 55 actively engaged, so they exerted the behavioral metrics that Google liked, your cost per click or cost per acquisition will start to decline. And therefore, this is what you need to do. You have your site has to be highly involving and engaging. Your conversion flow has to be seamless, so user easily can identify the product. So the product discovery stage is very effective. It's basically user would come and he will easily see the category that he needs to go to find the product that he needs. Or if this is a PPC, you will directly send a user to a limited number of products that would correspond to user intent that exerted in a search query or keyword that they used. And as a result, your acquisition cost will decline. So I believe this is, before I had to explain that when I started this business on my own. So I was a freelancer and I was going around to big e-commerce in Kiev. And I was selling the conversion rate optimization like I've been doing this all my life, because this is, I'm a salesperson in essence. But what surprised me was that there are companies who had millions, I mean, tens of millions of traffic. Ukraine is before the war, it was 45 million, 46 million people. This is a big country with a lot of traffic, with a lot of sales potential. And I was so surprised to see that some of the top companies, e-commerce or marketplaces, they had difficulty understanding what CRO was. That was about 8 years ago. So, but still, and I had to explain this. But now, of course, now it's a very different story. My belief is that everyone has to invest in conversion rate optimization if you want to make money, because we pretty much know, everyone who's doing business pretty much knows quite well how to drive traffic, if the business is successful, of course, if it's not a 3-day startup. But how to optimize for effective user experience to increase user propensity to convert or to exert a specific behavior, this is a big black box for many. And that's the reason why they're not investing, because they don't know. If you look around, there are not so many conversion rate optimization pros in the world. So I'm saying that there are, say, 50 people who are going from company to company, and they basically change the same companies, because those companies can invest, and they feel that these guys are very high proficiency in CRO, so they hire them. And in my view, you have to be on top of CRO as soon as possible if you want to be competitive.
Okay, awesome. So when it comes to creating this culture of CRO, creating this culture of taking a data-driven approach to it, it's not just contained within the marketing department, right? What do the other departments need to be involved in this process? Who are the other key stakeholders that CMOs need to be working with for this kind of project?
Well, you see, let me just break down what conversion rate optimization involves. First of all, it's design level thinking based on evidential decision making. So it has to be data driven. What do you have to ask yourself? You have to ask yourself a question. If you hear any premise, any conclusion, any assertion, you have to ask yourself a question. What is it based on? Is it based on your feeling, on your, on one of your friends or mother told you last night, or is it based on some data that you collected? Is it based on the top manager's enlightenment during lunchtime, which has nothing to do with a data-driven approach? Or is it based on the evidence you collected through A/B tests we conducted? So when someone comes to me with a hypothesis or an assertion, how about we do this for a client? Say, why do you think we have to do this? What makes you think we have to do this? And I always ask for evidence. In some cases, people tell me that I believe this is the right way. My experience and my feeling tells me this is the right way. And I know this specific person is experienced. He wouldn't be telling things just out of nothing. There is some evidence, but he cannot or she cannot put it together into right collection of words. So, okay, let's try it. Let's see how it goes. So it has to be a data-driven approach for to decision-making across all companies. So ideas, even if they're ungrounded, they had to be pre-validated. Not necessarily validated through A/B tests, but pre-validated. But by pre-validation, I mean conducting a focus group or a user test and say, look, this is what I need you to do. This is the scenario. Do it. And if you see that what you are proposing is working, user is using this, say, for example, a product discovery flow or a payment method that you want to introduce, then you pre-validate the hypothesis. Then it can go into the next stage of creating, being created as a full-blown, full-fledged hypothesis for A/B testing, for validation. So top management must be on board for sure. Conversion rate optimization involves creating questions that you need to answer in order to make hypothesis. Involves data tracking, which is another department. Involves user experience research, identifying user perceptions, blocks, barriers, concerns, ambiguities. Involves quantitative analytics to identify user behavioral patterns. Dev team, because they will be during the development of the hypothesis. Design team for UX, UIX, copywriting team for copywriting, and QA. So it's pretty much the whole product company will be involved in this. Therefore, Xero is a driving function in the company. Of course, there's traffic acquisition and many others, but if you want to be competitive, your conversion rate optimization methodology must be ingrained in the whole company. And remember that conversion rate optimization is to do with conversion, which is sale, which is the action. If we're talking continuous action, this is another evolution of conversion rate optimization, which calls a UXO, a user experience optimization, whereby we're interested not in the first conversion metrics like conversion rate, average order value, average revenue per user. The UXO is more focused on continuous retention, reducing churn rate, increasing lifetime value, and increasing repeat purchase. So this is another step of evolution of conversion rate optimization. Many of our clients come to us and say, look, things look good in terms of the first engagement, but we have churn. We have churn, say 30%. Do something about it. Say, okay, we'll find the reasons why people churn and we'll give you a solution. And I mean, this is something that we're gradually transitioning from just Xero into conversion rate optimization and optimizing user experience after the first engagement, after the first conversion, into continuous relationship.
I feel like we could have an entire separate conversation about UXO because it does sound absolutely fascinating, particularly in terms of like customer retention, which is going to be incredibly important for CMOs and companies right now. But let's stick to CRO for now. You've absolutely sold me on why it's important, Ihor. I'm sure that most of our audience is convinced by now. Let's talk about some practical steps that CMOs can be taking right now to try and optimize their conversion rates. I know, obviously, it's going to be quite different for different industries. Like, you're not going to be able to list out all the different user intents for every single industry and every single person in the world right now. But let's, maybe if you've got any interesting use cases or case studies that you could call on that could be sort of an example of what can be achieved through these steps that we're going to go through.
Sure. I'll give you two examples on the conversion form. So let me give you a little bit of background. If you ask, or perhaps if you asked 3-5 years ago, any conversion rate specialist in the field, how to optimize the form, you said minimize the number of steps, minimize the number of fields, which is logically correct, which is absolutely correct. But what we found, and I mean, I'm not going to say we invented this, but what we developed it internally, the concept, what we call educate and provide value before conversion. So what we did is, before you ask anyone to do something, make sure that you done something for them. So value. I'll give you a very simple example. We have a client from US who are a SEO-based company. So they generate traffic. This is an affiliate model. So they generate traffic and then the website is based on car insurances. So basically it's tens of thousands of different pages related to everything that you can think about car insurance. So if you type anything there, about car insurance, you're likely to have their website on the first page. And there was one page that was generating, or a collection of pages that were generating a significant portion of traffic, but they were not converting. They produced very little conversion. So, and they were related specifically to how much car insurance a user needs. So there was a lot of content about car insurance, and a user would come, read, and leave. What we did is we created a quiz funnel flow, whereby we ask questions and say,
basically, it sounds like this. Determine how much car insurance do you need. We ask questions, the user answers questions. By the time he reaches the end, we give him the recommendation. So for you, we recommend this type of car insurance. This is the level of coverage. And the call to action, do you want, I think, let me remember, compare quotes. Let's make it simple. So user would come, not just consume the content. User would be able to determine exactly the level of coverage and the type of insurance he needs. What we saw that the conversion rate of this page increased by 150%, I think it's about.
Wow.
Because users were clicking on this element because this is exactly what they came for there. We can look at the user, the search queries at the keywords the users were using. And not keywords, this is the organic traffic, so it's search queries. And what we saw that they'd be asking how much car insurance did. How do I determine what level of coverage do I need? And this is exactly what we gave them. We gave them a flow to identify how much car insurance they needed. So what we're saying is that increase user engagement and provide value before asking to convert. We've seen the conversion of this page has skyrocketed after that. That's one example. The other example, what I started to talk about, is about conversion form. So you know that you have, if you have 15 fields, people will leave without even attempting to put this down. So one of the conventional things is break it down into a number of digestible steps, which also works. We tried it many times and it does work in most cases. However, what we found is with difficult products like B2B SaaSes, like for example, we have one client who provides, let me remember, it's a payroll automation solution software. So it's a difficult one. So you have to be, and the clients or the people who make decisions are CMOs, CFOs, controllers. So there's other people in on this corporate side who have to be convinced before they move forward with a demo or anything. So instead of now client, the payment or automation software provider had a big form. So we said, first, let's break it down. We broke it down, nothing happened. Say, let's explain which port each field is and why do we need to do it. We did this, nothing happened. We said, how about this? We did a very deep and very comprehensive research to identify why do people initially started to look for payroll automation. So payroll automation is a solution that is there to address a specific problem. Say, what is that problem? And we identify that it takes too long to if you have 500 people in your company, not to say if you have 5,000 people in your company, it's going to take just way too long to process all the payments. There are errors, it's too costly, and many, many other things. So what we did, we took this conversion, which is, by the way, was called schedule a demo or book a demo. When user clicked it, we, instead of giving them the form, we asked him a question. What goals are you trying to achieve with payroll automation? And then we list all the goals. So user would read through and say, oh, I can do this. I can reduce the number of errors. Or I can reduce the cost by 75%. And this and this, oh, this, everything is really, really relevant to me. Let's continue. Then we ask what benefits and what features are most important to you. And we'll list all the features. So the user would read through all of them. So, wow, they have this feature. They have this. They can compile the payroll together. They work in Indonesia. Great, because not many, well, there are some countries that not many payroll automation solutions work. So, and by the time user reaches the form, he already he's been educated. What problems we can solve, what features we have, what benefits will we even have at price point selection. So user would be able to say, identify him or herself in a specific
price points, I am willing to say be in that segment of price because the solution is adjustable. And by the time he reached the forum, he's read so much content that he is highly motivated. And our client told me, are you crazy? You're going to, you instead of breaking down the form, you're going to make it five times longer. Said, yes, let's try it. We did 70% uplift in conversion rate. And
now this is a big grind with big traffic, sufficient traffic volume to generate millions of dollars just from this one change. So this is a good example where it was a gamble, but it worked.
Yeah, and I really like those two approaches as well, because not only are you getting the audience, getting the lead engaged, you're doing research on these potential customers as well at the same time. Like, you're getting lots of valuable data from these people, both in terms of macro data, looking at audience behavior, also individuals, for like that kind of information for the before booking a demo. That is absolute gold for a sales team. So I really like this approach. It's very, very elegant, like very, very smart, Ihor. So that's just two minor, it's not minor things you can do, but two steps that you can take to really optimize conversion rates. It sounds like it's a big, lengthy process, Ihor. So I'm not going to ask you to go through every single step now, but let's see if we can tie things together. Like, do you maybe have some like golden rules about how marketing departments, how CMOs should be thinking about conversion rate optimization, just like kind of tie everything together that we've discussed today?
Let me think about this. So the number one thing I would say is that don't do anything unless you have evidence that this may work. Don't waste time, because you can be successful 1 out of 10 times, but the amount of time, the lost opportunity that you would lose as a result of going for opportunities that are unfounded, they have no data behind them or no evidence that they will work. So I would say always ask, what is it based on? If you don't see the data, don't do it, unless there's someone who passionately believes that it's going to work. But always pre-validate your ideas. Don't go into full-fledged A/B tests worth, 2-3 weeks of work of two developers, a QA, a designer, a copywriter, and a manager, and a reuse researcher, and a quant analyst engineer, just because you felt this is the right thing to do. You have to be passionate about this. If so, yes, of course, go ahead. But if you're not, collect data. It is always easier to make decisions when you have data. And not only that, when I started to work in the business, we were convincing the clients, and we were, in some cases even arguing with clients that this is the right way to go. It's going, no, I don't believe that. But after we gained some experience, now it is very difficult to argue with us, because we have everything. We have data to prove everything we say. So every single assertion is backed with data. So the client is always there saying, wow, very good. Oh, you even have this. Oh, you've collected this much data. So we know what to ask, and we know how to determine that. And we will never put forward an idea or hypothesis if we don't have solid evidence that this is likely to work. So not only that, there is some insight, there is strong evidence that this is the way forward. So number one, don't do anything unless you are able to collect data and pre-validate this idea. Number two is make sure that you don't implement anything without testing it. Because we were so surprised and outblown by some of our clients who are huge, but they just release updates without testing and say, how do you know? If this can drop your conversion by 15%, it's a big change. So, well, we'll just say and save the metrics change. Say, well, there is seasonality in place. This is November, so anything can happen. You can see a huge uplift because people are just rushing to buy. Wow, it's gonna be okay. It's a funny story, but don't do anything without testing. I mean, I have a client who make millions of dollars, and they just released a redesign without testing it.
and the conversion rate declined by 70%. Wow. And they spent 6 months designing and working on this, 6 months of investment. So they had to roll back back everything, fired everyone, all of the product team, everyone involved in this. And you know this, you know how people sometimes say, I told you. Don't tell me, I didn't tell you. And we said, we were telling, don't launch it. It's a big risk. So two things, data-driven decisions and validation through experimentation.
Two excellent pieces of advice there, Ihor. Thank you very much for taking the time to speak to me today. Really, really fascinating look at many different aspects of conversion rate optimization. I'm really, really enthused about this now. I'm sure a lot of our audience is as well. So thank you very much, Ihor, for your time.
Thank you, Will. Thank you. Thank you for everything. Take care.
Yeah. And thank you very much to our audience as well. We'll be back soon with some more CMO combos.
Get Dream Data for free today by visiting dreamdata.io and start optimizing your conversion rates towards what matters most, revenue. Like what you heard from this CMO combo? Make sure you hit that subscribe button and leave a rating so the whole world knows how great it was.